Memorial Day.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Speaking of sleep, my routine for watching Game of Thrones is I have to watch it usually in three consecutive nights because I can't go more than probably 17, 18 minutes without falling asleep.
I was
going to
say three 19-minute hunks of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I'll tell you how it was. Last night, after Carla went to sleep, after we watched Survivor on the TiVo, I went back to my my Game of Thrones. I said, well, I'll finish watching it. And you know how you hit that icon, like on the DirecTV box, and it says resume?
Yes.
And I hit resume, and it was the credits. I was so sleepy when I watched it, I had forgotten that I saw the end of it.
What about, there was an Apex moment. You fell asleep during that?
I know you'll probably have to remind me. I've watched it all,
yeah.
But you'd have to probably tell me what the Apex
Jon
moment was.
Jon Snow cut someone's head off. Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He
should
the
said
guy,
spoiler alert
so
first.
John, yeah, see, but see, if Oscar Sorry. Reminds me, I Jon Snow is head of the Night's Guard, the Night's Watch, and the one guy didn't think he was worth it, and so Jon Snow says, I'm going to send you to the Hinterlands to guard the North Pole
place. Yeah, he gave him an order to disobey.
And he said, I will never do that and respect your damn order. And then he drags him out. He said, well, if you will not respect the order, I have to maintain discipline. And bring me my sword. So he brings him out, and the guy's still at this point.
He asks for mercy.
Yeah, he asks, and it's too late because he's got to assert his authority. Mm. And off with his head.
Respect
and
my really, authority.
One of your pretty significant beheadings.
Oh, yeah,
too,
nice and clean.
Now, is Jon Snow, I can only go by his name, is he the Game of Thrones disc jockey? Does he do afternoons? Is it Jon Snow?
Hey, everybody, it's
oh,
Jon
God.
Snow.
Do you have the music?
I'm sure Please. I can find it.
Mike, if you could do Jon Snow or a character from Game of Thrones talking up records, I would ask myself in this
Well,
studio.
I can do. I mean, it's basically doing the British accent. You know, I mean, that's what it is. Yeah.
Do you want to Hello, talk, this I, is, will your name be Jon Snow?
This is the Jon Snow episode. You know, the best Oscar, the best accent on that show is the creepy guy that was sending the princess
Littlefinger?
To the bad guy.
Littlefinger.
You know, the guy that pushed his wife down the well?
Yeah, Littlefinger.
That's,
can you
that's
do him?
The best, that's the best accent at all.
Okay, you ready?
It's the one that's got kind of the Scottish thing.
Yes!
Going.
So you're Littlefinger.
This will be, I guess, KGOT, Game of Thrones, and that would be because they're west of the
Perfect.
Mississippi. Okay, and let's see. I think we'll start with Tony Orlando and Dawn, Mike.
CBS FM. Greetings, everyone. This is Littlefinger. I'm taking the princess to the really bad guy's castle. That's where she's going to marry him, but she doesn't know because I'm a dirty liar.
I'm coming home after my time.
What's the name of that princess? What's the name of the princess? Do you know?
Don't find it for you.
There's the princess. And what's Peter Dinklage's character? What is all right. Oh, okay. Give me another one.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Right. Listen and learn. Learn and listen. The facts are fun on WWDC.
Well, I hope you're having a good weekend. The House of Lannister would like to send you and yours a big greeting and hope you get outside in this sunshine.
That's a crappy record to talk up, Rob. Okay. Give me a better one.
Sansa Stark.
Sansa Stark,
she's got
the princess?
Sansa Stark, yes.
And who's she going to marry? Who do we know who she's going to marry?
Oh, Jesus, right. I got to find that.
Oh, I'll do another
All right, here we go. Ready? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Oscar.
Peter Baelish is Littlefinger.
Okay, Peter Baelish.
All right.
60s on 6.
Peter Baelish get together on a Friday. Yes, siree. House of Lannister in the house. How about that? Here's Orleans for everybody from Winterfell on Game of Thrones 101.
Oh, there's some boners out there right now. I know that for sure.
Some in here.
Tyrion Lannister is
Peter Dinklage. Okay, let's all do Tyrion Lannister.
Okay, here we go.
WDRC in Hartford, where the fun is.
Tyrion Lannister with you. I wish that I could say something positive, but I don't want to. I want to sit in this little hut, and I want to drink myself to vomiting, because you have to drive across all of the lands with the bald guy, Game of Thrones. Getting wrapped up.
Oh, God. This is great.
We buried the lead today. All right, I'll do one more.
One more? Okay, hold on one second.
I will do the Hand of the King.
Okay.
He was Father Papa Lannister. And that's what his name will be, Papa Lannister.
You got it.
He was shot with a crossbow.
All right, here we are.
All hits all summer long on WAVA.
This is the Hand of the King. Papa Lannister show. I'm sitting here in my DJ studio. Oh, look, my little dwarfing son has come in here. Oh, that hurt.
Nice.
God. I'm not right, really sure. It's just the luck of the draw that this Game of Thrones station only plays like easy listening oldies. Right.
I'm trying to think if there are any other guys that are there yes, we have to mention Khaleesi.
Nice.
Oh, of course. Right. Okay. Ready?
All right. Hold on. Okay.
Much more music.
Well, how are you? Hello, Khaleesi. Yes, the Queen of Dragons. She's coming down the street with all the slaves and the masters. What a fabulous afternoon it is. You're listening to Game of Thrones Radio. One of the big dragons escaped from its dungeon. Oh, no, he's going to bring fire on Winterfell. Game of Thrones.
There is nothing that is wrong. Wanting you to stay here.
I have retained enough to know that, but
well,
Mike
Beach once said, you really don't need to know a lot to be a disc jockey.
Do you have any Billy Idol by any chance?
I can find some Billy Idol for you. I'll just
like
need
perhaps
a
White Wedding.
Yes, give me
that one.
Need just
we're going
a
to change the color. We're going to change the color.
Okay, give me one moment. That's all I need.
And it's a big promotion coming up for Game of Thrones Radio. They're having everybody from all the lands come to a big wedding festival. And then we'll let you know. If you're listening, coming up in the next 2 minutes, you'll know what the big secret is about the White Wedding.
You got to
okay,
stay by your phones, don't you?
Yeah, stay by your phones, because if you know this secret, oh, I'll tell you, you're going to come out way ahead.
Okay.
All right?
Are you ready?
Don't they send a raven? Is that what they send?
It's a sticker patrol on the wagon.
The raven.
Mike, it's Nick Raven. Is what it is. Nick Raven. All right, here we go.
105 WAVA.
Hi, everybody. It's Nick Raven, Game of Thrones Radio. By now, if you're listening to my voice, you've probably received your raven inviting you to a fabulous white wedding. We're going to grab people from all the various kingdoms. They'll be riding in by horseback, the princesses, the kings, the queens, the knights' guard. Everybody will be joining us for a fabulous white wedding. But here's the trick. Even if you receive the raven, you don't know it's not a white wedding, it's a red wedding, and you're all going to die.
I bow down.
Great
to you,
radio prank.
So I think you can probably tell that I've watched enough of it to to retain that.
You're
and be
plugged
able to
in.
Do that. But I do watch it usually in three installments.
Does it make you sleepy? Is it the pacing?
Probably the same reason that I fell asleep during Shakespeare class when I was in high school.
Ah.
I love the language. I enjoy the dialect. But it just gets so tedious for me, especially when Peter Dinklage is talking to the bald guy in the little wooden
the
cart
in the wagon.
That he's going to. Yeah, and on his way over there.
Yeah.
And he's going to see Khaleesi, right? Isn't that who he's going to see?
You don't know yet.
You don't know who he's going to see?
It's full of mystery.
All right,
and speaking of Khaleesi, there is a viral video that will make you want to kill yourself. Last night on the Jimmy Fallon show, the ultra cute Jimmy Fallon interviewed the ultra cute Kristen Wiig in character as Khaleesi.
Oh, I like this.
And they made themselves laugh so hard, Mike. It was really, really. Watch it and get diabetes. It's wonderful.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Started out hunting large game, but as I got older, I began to hunt quicker, more agile animals, smarter.
To take an animal's life, you have to have a certain level of admiration for that animal. And you have to love that animal. That's why we hunt the most loved animal of all. House cats.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was like a, it was a calico. Yeah. Do your cat call.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty.
Cat hunting, or c***ing as we call it, it's trickier than most people think. I mean, most cats we come across are protected by a family of humans that are equipped with phones that can call the police, so.
A lot of the time, we're just crawling around suburban homes all day, maybe to find one or two of them tops. But then, on the other hand, there are some days when you luck out and stumble onto a cat lady's apartment.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the Best of O'Mara.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We hope you enjoy this special Best of edition for the holiday. And remember, Memorial Day isn't just about honoring veterans. It's honoring those who lost their lives. Veterans had the fortune of coming home. For us, it's a reminder of when we come home, we still have a responsibility to serve. It's a continuation of service that honors our country and those who fell defending it. That's what it's all about. When you enjoy your Memorial Day Monday, please remember the people that lost their lives so you can enjoy it. Have a great Memorial Day, and we'll be back with a brand new show on Tuesday with the Mike O'Mara Show.
I am here to tell you that last night was one of the most successful social evenings in the history of the O'Maras in Maine. I am the whole family came over.
In this incarnation of the O'Maras in Maine, or overall?
The family on my back deck, people that I haven't socialized with for long periods of time, and everybody having a great time, and the kids doing that. The one piece of knowledge that that came out of this, and this might enlighten others in our listening audience like it enlightened me, is I always wondered when you see certain Adam Sandler movies,
right,
and you see, for example, a Kevin James movie called Paul Blart Mall Cop 2,
yeah,
you would say, you know, what in the name of God is going on? How can this guy continue?
Right.
I like Kevin James. He's a very nice guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times, but you know, these movies, it's the kidlings.
Exactly.
Because my cousin Billy's kids and my cousin Teddy's kids were over here, and they hit the couch and got the old Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 on pay-per-view, and they were amused for the evening.
Aww.
And suddenly, like a bolt of lightning, it hit me. That's what kids dig.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what they are enjoying.
Watching
That's
movies?
Why, no. Well, no, I mean, this type of movie.
Oh,
I think
the dumb comedies? Yeah.
The really dumb, stupid comedies. Yeah. And I think it just reminds me that I have to remember that my demographic is not everybody else's demographic.
So true.
So that's
and
why
you know
these
what?
Movies are successful.
You are not that far away, Mike, from being dragged to seeing Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2 and all those movies in the theater. Because
little Michael, Grown Ups 10.
He's going to love them. He's going to love them.
And
there is something magical about Kevin James. That kids adore. I don't understand it.
Well, he's the big, fat, goofy guy. I think that's what.
But kids hate me.
Because you have it. You're imposing. You're a little bit imposing.
Mr. Rob's going to eat me.
Rob's going to eat me.
Get in my belly.
Watch out there. So they love that.
That was just mean. I am so sorry. I love you, Rob.
That's different than normal.
I've already jumped the shark as far as my kid watching TV. I told you, you know, we're supposed to wait till 3. We completely blew it.
Right.
He's 2 years old. He goes through now, and I say, you want to watch Tomas? Tomas is Thomas the Train Engine.
Right.
He says, Tomas. I said, he goes, no. I said, you want to watch Super Y? No.
What's Super Y?
Super Y is Super Y. Super Y.
The Y chromosome?
Let me see if I can bring up the theme for you. Super Y is one of the... they're all shows on Sprout. And, you know, I watch all these shows with my son.
It's a great network.
Now, Rob, you can testify to the fact that during my first go-round, being the absentee dad that I was, probably wasn't in tune with what the kids were watching.
Well, I remember an evening with when your daughters, and it wasn't about Sprout and Super Y. We say, so you want to watch Cops? You want to watch Cops? You just weren't really in tune with the youngins.
cops.
Yeah, exactly. Why?
Super why? Do you sing it to Michael?
Yeah, well, I don't sing that one to him. I sing other songs.
Which one do you sing?
What's the plot of Super Why?
Now you're getting me confused.
Is it a lot of like, why is the sky blue?
They're
why
the super.
Why does Daddy have gray hair?
They're super readers.
Why is Daddy sleeping through the night but getting up at 4:30?
They're super readers. They help kids read.
Okay, that's good.
Let me give you a little super why. Here we go. This is what the modern 2-year-old. There's a better clip.
Nice.
And they're all in a library, and the books are floating around, and then they're in their spaceships and their superhero costumes. And they're the kids that, because they're super why, they're the readers.
Right.
And they modify stories to help make the story better when the story has a problem. So.
Oh, I see. So.
Choose your own adventure?
Yeah, kind of.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, let me give you the
we
other
thing.
We
should invent a children's show. Like
a what show?
A children's show.
Troll run.
How about Rough Tweed and Dave? All right, hold on.
Rough Rough is one name, I'm guessing.
Now, this is the one of all of them. This is the one I despise.
Oh.
Because this has the one thing Barney had, and this one has lots of, and that is the fake kids giggle. Where you get one of the characters that goes, like that. I don't need that. That's that, you know. So let me see if I've got this one for you. Hold on, just a second. There it is. Yeah, thank you. Okay.
It's British, huh?
Get of that.
Ruff Ruff Tweed and Dave actually is doing. They're doing mornings on 98 Rock now.
So what does little Michael? What is he into? If he says no to Super Y.
That's the problem. He goes through it. He doesn't want to watch Super Y anymore. He doesn't want to watch Thomas the Train Engine anymore. He doesn't want to watch Super Y anymore. And we're trying to find different stuff for him.
Sesame Street's coming to HBO.
Yeah.
Really?
So yeah, you can as long as you have premium.
Sesame Street.
Well, they're going to show a lot more skin.
He still likes the
a lot more felt.
Let me see the other one here.
Awesome.
Hold on.
Strong Jake. Felt contact.
That's right.
I do dive into the Disney Channel occasionally and watch Jake and the Neverland Pirates.
Oh, I've
have
not
you heard of that one?
Not aware of Jake and the Neverland Pirates.
What about the Disney Junior? They got all those Mickey Mouse shows on there now.
Still. Yeah.
Hold on just a second. Let me
Teen Nick is good.
Teen Nick.
I knew it.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. That's it.
I knew it. They all say
that. You can't get him hooked on a good show like iCarly?
No, because he's two. He doesn't speak the language. How can he watch iCarly?
Comedy's very broad. I think he'd be okay with it.
Speaking of kids, I tried to do...
How bored was Rob with that little exchange?
Oh, he's
just
like, oh,
I mean, all right. I'll take a slug of water there. That's
fine. I apologize for having a sip of water.
I tried to do the sneeze for my niece, who I had a similar issue with when I was trying to figure out what she wanted to do, the Donald Duck sneeze. And I couldn't quite do it as well as you do.
Oh, I doubt that very much. I'd love to hear how you did it.
Now, let's hear Mike's first.
Why don't you do yours first,
yes,
and then
I will
try to do mine, all right?
This is going to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
And incidentally, Oscar is referring to the Donald Duck sneeze, which
for kids.
Is something I've done for kids all over the world. That didn't sound like it.
I got to clear my throat.
Yes.
Sorry, very good.
That's all I got. I can make Donald go crazy, I think.
Well,
can you make Donald shake the water off his bill?
No, I'm going to let you do it in a second, but let me try.
Would you like that? Would you like that one first, or would you like the Donald Duck, the traditional Donald Duck sneeze?
Let me just try one more time.
All right, here we go.
All right, Noel, since you're the youngest one in the room, darling, would you please go over to Mr. Santana's station, please, and stand next to him? I need to see you in order for this trick to work, okay?
Okay.
So Noelle is making her way over to Oscar Santana as we speak, and if she can hear me through Oscar's headphones. Noelle, what I'm going to need you to do now is I'm going to hand you through the TV monitor. Here is the imaginary pepper.
You have to reach and grab it.
Take the imaginary pepper.
No, you have to reach and grab it.
Yeah. And then what?
Is this
did
on
she
HBO?
Take the imaginary pepper?
It's right, on now Showtime.
Now you throw the imaginary pepper in my face, okay?
In his face or Oscar's?
In Mike O'Mara's face.
Throw
the pepper.
Okay.
Can I just say, I have had an easier time with an 8-month-old than I have with this particular...
Well, Mike, what happens? They say this. As kids grow up...
I don't have headphones on.
All right, give her the headphones. We'll start all over again.
As kids grow up, Mike, they lose the ability to make believe.
All right, Noelle, you see the imaginary pepper in my hand right here?
Okay, yeah.
All right, I'm going to reach through the monitor, and I'm going to hand you the imaginary pepper.
Got it.
All right, now what I want you to do, Noelle, is I want you to shake the imaginary pepper in my face, okay?
Ready?
And here we go.
I'm going to throw it.
I made myself laugh. That is so unprofessional.
Because this is all about professionalism.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Noelle, would you like to see me shake the water off Donald's bill?
I would.
Right, here we go. Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week. Thank you very much. You can go back to your workstation now. Oh, and I get a better look at Oscar's haircut.
Yeah, nice,
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow.
I got the kid in play.
That is serious. Wow. That is like modern cartel right there. That is.
Channel's
boy, you
like,
really...
you got a black man's haircut.
It's high and tight.
I said, can I found you... Rocky. Yes.
Yeah, high and tight.
Could you, would you be a dear just for a second to take the headphones off so we can get one quick look at that, please? Oh, my. Oh, wow.
There's a lot of precision there. Let's see the profile of the beard. Wow. That is terrific. Look at that. That is something again.
He was so proud of what he did that he took pictures afterwards.
Really?
Seriously?
How long were you in the chair?
It's an hour and a half going up right on the wall next to the Dr. Martin Luther King.
You got a picture of you?
Well, it's the type of place where they put pictures up of the haircuts they made.
Mike,
it's
awesome.
So you're now the number 26?
I'll be the number two. Can I get the number 26?
Mike, we should send a picture. Good. We should send a photo of you over. Yes, absolutely. Yes,
and
because I know they'd appreciate
the one
it, really
accoutrement
would.
They have is they give you the full. They've got the real like Mexican Coke, Mexican Fanta, Mexican Sprite.
Yeah, real sugar sodas.
They have they give you one when you walk in.
Now that is classy.
Right?
I like that.
They don't
Let
do
me,
that anywhere else.
Getting back to the kiddies things, I have to share with you the all time my favorite and one that he no longer is really all that interested in watching.
Right.
It was so quick. It was a matter of weeks that he watched this show, but this was my all time favorite right here. This is it.
Oh, is it the car?
Nope, see if you can guess.
Paddington Bear.
Nope.
Oh, Sex in the City.
It does sound
No.
Good. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
You know, this is not the right one.
My Dog Spot.
That's not, hold on.
Robert was into a show called Broom.
Oh.
B-R-U-M, and it was about a small...
Matt Broom.
Yes. It's our engineer's Chinese cousin. That's Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Thomas the Train.
Right? Thomas the Train.
Yeah, he's not into him anymore. That's quick.
Here we go. Thomas is the cheeky one.
He's the cheeky one.
He's vain but lots of fun. Pulls the mail on time. Thunders down the line. Really knows her stuff. Henry. Edward.
Has father issues.
Toby's just square. Toby's the a-hole in the group. Yeah, everybody. And Falling Fright. Red and green and brown and blue. They're the really useful crew. Different roles to play. Round Tidmouth sheds and far away. Down the hills and round the bends. Thomas and his friends.
My
beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Why
Thank
are
you
all
much.
The kids' shows British, though?
Because they're smarter than we are and they make better content.
Well,
that's what it is.
I'm not sure they were so smart when they lost the war.
I'll tell you. They didn't lose the war, Rob. They helped us win the war.
Mike,
come on now.
Well,
stop
it depends
it.
On which war you're talking about. I'm talking about 1812.
Can I try the one. Donald thing again?
Yes.
After seeing you do it.
All right,
can
go
you.
Ahead. All right, what you do is you take it back here and you do the lead up to the sneeze, which is...
No, I don't want to sneeze. I want the crazy one, the crazy one.
Oh, that's where...
One.
Well, you don't have the jowl for it.
Can
so
you pass
I have the
me
jowl.
The pepper?
Okay, here you go.
You don't need the pepper to go crazy.
How does it go?
You're not even getting it right. You don't do that.
Well,
you just,
teach me, sensei.
Okay, I'll throw a bucket of water on your face, and now you have to shake the water off your bill. All and you do that by loosening your cheeks, which in my case are much looser than yours anyway.
All right.
Based on my Winston Churchill jowl. And then you go, you do the Donald sound, which is the, and as you were doing the, You shake your head violently back and forth, causing it to appear like you're shaking water off the pony. Okay. Stop looking at me. There, you shake it off the pony.
Okay.
So funny.
Hey,
with
you know what? You know, you really should show a little bit of respect. Normally, kids pay top dollar at the camp for all of this.
The impressionist camp.
Yeah, it's out of Meriwether
Post. You, okay, I got. All right. Throw the bucket. Water.
Okay, here's the water. I throw the bucket of water. Now shake the water off.
I love pantomime on the radio.
That's pretty damn good.
All right. Oh, there we go. Nice.
So we know that he can do it. Do you suppose Pony could?
Pony, would you like to try the Donald Duck sneeze?
I would not.
Come on.
I'll give it a shot.
Be a sport.
All right, all right.
No.
I can't do it.
Rofo, can you do the sound? Can you do that sound?
Oh, he's okay. Got it. He's got it. He's got it.
Try, try
after
first
years
of all.
Of
try
vaping.
Try the sneeze. Try the sneeze. All right, that was awesome.
Sorry, buddy.
He thought that was
try
great.
To.
Was
we'll call
now,
you.
So now try to shake the water off your bill.
Oh, yeah.
Noel, would you like to give it a try? Would you like to give the old college try here?
You do it again so I can hear it again.
Okay, so
bossy,
please. I can't do that.
Okay, and Rob Spiewak, you know I've never given you the opportunity.
I don't know that I do Donald Duck. Hold on,
you're so.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I knew he'd do it. I knew
nice.
He'd be able to do it.
Oh. I can't say chew and do it. How do you form the word?
You sound like you're on a voice changer when you did it.
Well, you know, it's like looking ahead 5 years.
I also, to wrap this whole ridiculous segment up, I also do a pretty decent version of Happy Birthday.
You
oh,
do?
Please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Rob. Happy birthday to you.
That's something.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and you know what's great about that, Mike, is you bring a sexiness to the character.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's
that,
right.
That never had in the cartoon. Oh.
The best of O'Mara.
So, big news in the studio today when Oscar Santana actually went to a barbershop that was owned by Cedric the Entertainer. Very, very excited.
Well, Mike, if you remember, I used to go to a place called Roosters down the street, a high-end barbershop, right?
Yes. How much would you pay for a haircut at Roosters?
I would get I can talk about this now. But I would go and I would pay full price. I think a haircut there was like $45.
Sure.
And then if you got a full shave and trim,
full
for your
body
beard,
shave,
you maybe it was $30. It was expensive, right?
How much for the Brazilian?
So I'd gone.
How
there,
much for the Bolivian?
I had gone there enough that the guys, they would give me like a great discount. Like
okay.
I would go every week, right? So they would give me, I guess, the hookup. So I was like, this is fine. This is awesome. I never asked for it. I'll take
You're
it.
You're a regular customer. You get the volume discount. That's
volume
perfectly
discount,
legit.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I would pay, I would say, $45 for the beard and the actual haircut.
So
no,
have
no
you ever
deal.
Trimmed your own beard?
I did that once. It didn't work out that
okay.
well. That's
just
when
curious.
I had to shave it off.
You mean you've never, you don't go in, I trim my beard probably 3-4 times a week. So you've never gone in and on a regular basis trimmed your own beard? You
no.
always get somebody
I let the
to
professionals
do it
take care of it. I don't have the hand-eye coordination for that.
Okay.
I've learned the hard
well,
way.
Well, you're going to lose your vision. I mean, you just trim it. It's not. Well,
I mean, look at your appearance and look at my appearance.
Right.
So I take a little more pride in my appearance.
All right, but let's focus on our beards.
I think facial hair is lower down the
Rob, you know,
scale.
Sometimes you are sitting there. You're like a guy standing at home plate, and you know, as soon as the guy's going to throw the 90-mile-an-hour fastball, you just stand on the plate and face the pitcher.
But what I'm saying, is, you know, I could go and put on a really tiny shirt, but then they all look tiny on me. But at least the beard, I mean, my facial hair is pretty well kept. And yours, yes. I'm shocked that you don't do it yourself.
I can't. I've tried. I just don't. Again, it's a different approach.
I will give Rob some credit here that his facial hair over the years, he has had probably more configurations of facial hair than anyone I have ever worked with. He has had the Fu Manchu. He has had the giant lamb chop
sideburns.
You know who else has had the grizzly? You've had the grizzly at one point, didn't you?
Oh,
the grizzly.
Do you remember? Well, the thing is because of my heritage, I can grow a beard in about 80 minutes. So, like when we did playoff beards for the Caps once.
Yeah, Rob came in like the sales guy says, "We want you to do playoff beards for the Caps." I'm like, "Okay, how long does it last?" Well, the whole playoff season, a couple of months for the playoffs, and Rob's was done 48 hours later.
Yeah, six days into the promotion, I'm walking down the street, people are handing me money saying, "How long since you've had a hot meal?"
So tell us about your
new
experience.
So I came back from Los Angeles. I rolled in for a haircut and beard because my sister tried to convince me to go to a place called The Shave in Beverly Hills, and I said... Wait,
the Shave.
That great sounds magazine. Like super expensive, and I went online.
Sounds like Rob ought to play that audio clip again.
Mm-hmm. I went online. I went online and I said, "I don't know how much it costs because they're not giving you the prices right away."
Bad idea. Mm-hmm.
But I called, and it was over $100 just for a shave.
See, that's Beverly Hills.
Just for a shave. Rob, right. Rob, $5.99 haircut, right?
Well, now I don't go to $5.99 haircut anymore because I'm not going into Manassas anymore.
Okay.
I'm up to, I think, a $10 haircut.
Ten spot.
I go see Mary. Her name is not Mary either.
Can I just interrupt 1 second here before, and I'm going to let you finish because this is interesting to me. I want to tell you, the last haircut I got was in Bangor, Maine.
Yes.
And this is just a piece of advice to everybody. When you go to get a haircut and the lady cutting your hair says that her main hobby is roller derby, get out of the room, run for your life, get out of the chair, okay?
Yes.
Go ahead, Oscar.
So I roll into the parking lot of Roosters, which is right down the street here, right?
Right.
It's a social Safeway. And it's closed. They closed up shop while I was out of town.
That's got to be a traumatic experience. You've got your regular joint that you've been going to every week.
And when Oscar leaves, there's that $130 payment, and it ain't there.
It's not there.
Filch, baby.
They closed because you went to California.
Exactly.
As empty as it was when I was in there, I figured, it's about time. But how am I going to find the guy who cut my hair, right? How am I going to find my barber?
Right. Do you remember his name?
I remembered he mentioned that he worked at another barbershop on his off days.
Okay.
And it was in a different part of town.
Sure, up the street a bit?
I remember hearing Southeast and something near 14th, and then I just couldn't figure it out. So...
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
I went on Google because he gave me a landmark when he would talk about it.
Right.
He gave me a landmark how close he was to a certain place. I went on Google and I found three barbershops near that certain landmark.
Okay.
I called all three and I asked for my barber. Right.
What's his first name?
The first place I called was Muhammad's Barbershop. So I called and I said, "Hi."
And you know who answered was Muhammad Ali.
"You come in and get your hair done with Decon Roach Speed. It'd be the best haircut you've ever got in your life right now."
I said, and I'll give my barber a shout out. I said, "Hi, is there a barber named Rocky that works there, right?"
Rocky.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, and he had a Middle Eastern accent.
No.
He said, "There's only one barber here, and his name is Muhammad." I said, "Sir, I'm just looking for Rocky." Wrong barbershop.
Not getting hassled, not getting hustled.
Oscar's barber. Oscar Santana.
I called two other barbers. I finally...
Oh, I got to go with you. Hold on. That's right. Time to get your haircut. Here comes Oscar Santana. He's going to walk in there. Got to play the hook, ladies
That's
and gentlemen.
Right.
Are you happy
Oscar.
With the haircut? Oscar Santana. Good time. Okay, he doesn't know the show. That's why
no,
he's
he doesn't.
Stepping
he doesn't.
All over it.
He's
right,
going
to
Google.
All right, go ahead.
So I finally find Rocky, and he gets on the phone, and he says, Rocky offered to come to me and have my hair cut in the office, right? He goes,
sure.
I can come to your home, come to the office, no big deal. I said, no, Rocky, I've got a window of time this evening. This is yesterday. I said, let's just get over with. Where are you at? I said, text me the address. Text me the address. I jump in my car.
Did he correct you and say, where are you?
That's right.
No.
He said, I'm at this location, and please don't end a sentence with a preposition.
So he texts me the address. I jump in my car, and I'm like, oh, I'm really driving in a different part of D.C. here.
Yeah.
This is interesting. There must be something wrong with my ways.
Yeah. This must be a shortcut.
And I double-checked. I said, oh, that's a different part of town. All right. I got to go now. I'm already committed. I'm in the car.
Sure.
So I finally find the establishment. They had a nice parking spot right in front of the barbershop. I said, okay, this is awesome. As soon as I got out, I knew my first sign of trouble was that a gentleman in a white Camry with the Ethiopian flag on the back of the windshield almost killed me because apparently stop signs don't matter in that part of town.
Right.
And
Maybe you took his parking spot.
I look around, and as soon as I walk in, Rocky says, oh, I forgot to tell you, we only take cash. And I said, I got cash on me, Rocky. I figured something was up.
Hey, good thing to yell in that neighborhood.
Yeah, really.
Did you just stand in the street and say, hey, I got cash.
Yeah. Who wants some?
Yeah. I have cash and a sore foot, so I don't run very fast. So
I had realized I'd walked into what was a Hollywood replica, but in real life,
yes,
in D.C., of the barbershop in Coming to America.
Oh, my God.
And I said, this is awesome. Because, one, this is a great experience to talk about on the show, right?
Right.
Two, I knew I was going to get a legitimate haircut because Rocky was there and he'd cut my hair in the past. And three, I...
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Let me do it this time, okay?
All right.
I mean, if we're both f***ing doing it, it's not going to work real well. Okay.
I had realized that, you know, this is only great things could happen, and if I'm going to get mugged, at least Rocky will take care of me.
Sure.
So, Rocky's the type
How
of guy.
Old is Rocky just out of
He's
curiosity?
He's probably in his 60s.
Had you envisioned a younger guy?
No, I actually thought maybe it was a guy in his 40s. Actually thought it would be
Son
of a... You know, he's been a barber for a long time.
Yeah,
I
also believe that Rocky may be the type of guy, and look, this is all alleged, that if something happened, he would probably have a sidearm on him somewhere, right?
Right.
So I'd say, okay, this man's going to make sure his client gets in and gets out.
Right.
It's going to be all right. So while I'm there, what you think a barbershop in a different part of town from a different culture is, it is.
Wow.
Politics were talked about. Jared from Subway and what they would do to him were talked about.
Okay, you've said that the geographic layout is like that of Coming to America.
It is.
How many people were there? How many barbers were there? How many
people just come in and hang out?
Yeah, hang out at the barbershop.
And talk about life.
Yeah.
So it was a phenomenal experience.
Oh,
right?
It's great. Now, next time I drive there, I'll take my chick's car. But I'll say, a nice 2000 Avalon, probably less conspicuous.
Sure,
right?
Understood.
But he spent an hour and a half cutting my hair and really shaping up my beard.
Yes.
When I left, I said, I think Rocky gave me a black man's haircut.
Because did you bring the DAT recorder with you? Did you get the clip of the barber shop? I think you did. Hold
on. Kevin. What that boy name?
I done told you four times. That's Ricky.
Ricky. Ricky. What the hell you think you doing over there?
Hey, look, I'm just trying to get them clean like them Gillette commercials.
What's the problem with y'all today? Y'all don't know nothing. Sit up there, just watch too much TV and listen to that jiggery and all them folk up in there hibbity hobbity and all.
There you go. Okay. Just,
I'm so glad he brought the recorder. It's nice.
While I'm there in the chair, right?
Right.
I would say at least four people just stopped by just to shoot the S.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about the deli that was opening up around the corner and how they skimped on the lunch meat and how they really wanted to do it right, they put more meat on their sandwiches, right?
Right.
So I was like, yes, this is great. They talked about the hardware store up the street and how much they charge for their equipment compared to the big box stores and what they need to do right.
Right.
So they're in everybody's business.
What they're doing is they're offering solutions to everything.
Mm-hmm. the Ethiopian restaurant up the street that the guys that work at the Ethiopian restaurant park on the sidewalk and not actually on the street. And that when the D.C. cops see that, they don't care because they're getting free meals inside the Ethiopian restaurant. This is all legend. God. And when I'm sitting there, I'm like, they know everybody's business. And during that time, and this is why I love this wonderful city of Washington, D.C.
A melting pot, Oscar.
Yes. A lady from the city walks in. White lady.
Yes.
She walks in. She says, guys, I want to remind you that like the town hall meeting, whatever's happening this Saturday night at what the community center down the street, the city's giving away another $50,000 in grants for local businesses. You have to be established. She gives all the details, right?
Right.
Oh, really? But it's to get a little help up?
Yeah,
there.
That's just for this corridor, right? Right. As soon as the door shuts, God bless him. $50,000! And then they're like, we should start a business and just split the money. I just want to
surrender. I just want to the best of O'Mara.
We all enjoyed our little odysseys all around the country. We covered North America quite nicely. We had yours truly up in the Great White North. We had Oscar Santana out in Cali. And then we had Rob Spiewak, who went down south.
Yeah, yes, and if you really want to enjoy Savannah, go in August, Mike, because when it is 98 degrees with full sunshine and the air is still, and all the people and what they call it down there is Slovanna. All the people in
Slovanna.
They'll say, you know, it's really not as hot as it could be.
Welcome to Slovanna, boy. Yes, sirree. Hope you're enjoying your time in Slovanna.
But it was certainly hot, and Katie and Dan were kind enough to invite the family down, and it's about a 9 or 10 hour drive.
Yes.
And we've done it before. That was actually our halfway stop when we drove down to your place in Florida.
Usually is. Savannah, there are times of the year, if you're going to go to Savannah, you got to be really aware of the fact that the snowbirds use that as their halfway mark. So your months of October, November, and December, you got to be very aware of that because Savannah fills up very quickly.
But we had never been, and we did some research. We said, you know what, this would be a really nice place to go down for a few days.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful town.
I love
town.
The city. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
Town.
It's very friendly, beautiful to look at. It has almost like a New Orleans feel. But some of the neighborhoods almost look like Georgetown.
Nice.
And it all goes back to, Civil War days, very historical. And, of course, ever since the Civil War, Mike, they got no problem with you walking around with an open container, which is also very, very nice.
I forgot that it's a great party town. One of the, here's a little known fact. Well, maybe not a little known fact. A lot of partiers know this. But Savannah, Georgia, next to New York City, probably the biggest St. Patrick's Day celebration, and certainly the biggest in the South.
We found that out. We found that out. As a matter of fact, one of three walk-up McDonald's exists in Savannah, and McDonald's awarded those based on the size of the St. Patrick's Parade. I learned that
Now, when you say a walk-up McDonald's, what does that mean?
It means that it looks like a drive-thru, but the window's just on the sidewalk. So you just walk up, order, pay, and go. You don't even have to go.
Did you participate in
that? I did not. There are too many good restaurants in Savannah to go to a McDonald's.
Great food down there. Got a great waterfront. Really, really cool.
We actually, one place you had to wait, it was a 75-minute wait to get in, Mike, but I do recommend it. If you ever make your way down there, go to Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house.
That sounds so southern. Here at Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house, we have not thrown away our Confederate flags.
There's a lot of that down there.
A lot of pralines down there.
Yes,
right?
But at Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house, they're only open from 11 to 2 every day.
So it's a lunch destination.
It is a lunch
correct?
Destination. It's a flat fee, cash only, $20. And yep. We had to wait 75 minutes to get in because we only got there at 10:30.
Did you find any time whatsoever to sit and enjoy the company of one Paula Dean, who makes Savannah her home?
You know, I asked a lot of the locals about Ms. Dean, and of course she owns Hi Y'all. I believe the name of her restaurant is Hey Y'all, Lady and Sons.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Is that really the name of her restaurant?
I asked some locals about it, and they said, good luck getting through the fried tomatoes. It's all grease and butter.
And yep,
They don't like her, and we drove by her restaurant at about 9:15 on a Friday night. It was empty.
Oh, man.
Really?
Yeah, and also I didn't realize, but at Paula Dean's, Hey Y'all, mother and two daughters or sons, they serve by buffet.
Oh, it's buffet style. Ooh,
classy. Yeah, classy.
But see, it always has been, though, I think.
But when
it's
you drive by and you see an empty steam table, you really want to stop in. Yeah, so it's that's not the place we went.
What's it look like from the outside? Is it a freestanding building?
Almost nothing appears freestanding in downtown Savannah because it's such an old city. But
so Paula Deen's place is downtown.
It is downtown. And we had no interest in going. We did eat. But the thing is that Mrs. Wilkes, you get there and they seat you and they're probably 3 main courses and 15 side dishes, and you're seated at a table of 10 with people you don't know.
The nice thing about Paula Deen's restaurant is they have 2 buffet tables, one for certain members of the community, and the other one for other members of the community.
In order to serve you in a more efficient way, we have classified our clients.
Color-coordinated tables.
Now listen, I'm sorry. Go on to the right side. Yep, that's your buffet.
That's where we saved you a seat, sir.
Thank you
we
so much.
We saved you a seat right here.
Yes. Yeah, so, please be a dear. Do not come over on the left side of the restaurant. Thank you very much.
So we're seated at this family table, and it was great. The food was fantastic. But the funniest thing is that a guy, important guy, fat guy, gets a call on his cell phone, and he picks it up as he's eating fried chicken and, cornbread and all these great Southern comfort foods. He picks up his call, and he says, I can't talk now. I'm in a meeting.
Nice.
I've done that.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
I've done that when
him.
I've simply been dining. I've done that because, it's food time. Come
Meanwhile,
on.
Meanwhile, they say, would you like another meatloaf? And they bring you a meatloaf. They just
a
set
loaf
it on
of
the,
meat?
Yeah. It's the most food I've ever seen. It was great. But that was not the highlight of our tour because
I can't hear you say something like that and look at Santana in the background. I can't do that.
The idea of you. So they brought you 2 meatloaves?
Oh,
you
no. Had well, two, you no, had two it wasn't meatloaves? Me. The family Keep did? In mind, there was 10 people at the table.
The kids loved it.
Yeah. Mm. You know what the kids don't love?
What?
You. So we get out of there, and Katie had said, you want to tour the city. And I said, of course. And we actually did, the daylight trolley tour where they take all the squares
cool.
and stuff.
That's cool.
And they tell you about the history of the city. Yeah, it's an open-air trolley, so it was okay.
Was that after you had the meatloaf?
I believe it was. Okay, and what else we did? We walked all around Bonaventure Cemetery from midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
And that is, incidentally.
What
just
an amazing sight.
Adding to my Queenie reputation, one of my favorite books of all time, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. I love the book. The movie was okay with Kevin Spacey, but I love the book. And really, that book to me really did it for Savannah, because you think of all that mysticism and voodoo and multicultural
and
activity.
There's
there.
The Spanish moss hanging, and it's just the
it's
air
gorgeous.
Is still.
Great
all
place.
The locations we saw from that movie, it was very, very neat.
What was the daily high temperature when you were there? In the mid-90s every day?
Mid-90, 95, 96. The last day it was okay. When we went to the baseball game, we had a very pleasant night. We went and saw the Sand Nats, who are a single-A team.
I used to say it was the No-See-Ums, but it is the Sand Nats.
The
so
Sand
those
Nats,
bugs,
but it's the same bug. They just two names for the same bug.
So that is how bad. And incidentally, when I was thinking about where I was going to get a second place, ended up moving down to Florida. But the fact is, Savannah was on my radar, and I walked around, and those Sand Nats were, first of all, you can't see them.
That's why they call them no-see-ums.
They're no-see-ums and the Sand Nats, and that's how prevalent they are down there. They name the baseball team after the bug.
Wow.
That is one of the worst things about Savannah. They took a negative about their town and turned it into a positive by giving the minor league baseball team. I didn't know you went to a Sand Nats game.
Oh,
that's
it was
pretty
fantastic.
Cool.
I was recognized by a listener at the ballpark. Yeah, so I
the
want to say
Sand
hi to
Nats game.
Brad and Liz, who I had a really nice visit with, and the weird thing is not just being recognized 600 miles away from home, but in a ballpark.
That's cool.
So it was really nice, and they're a great, great couple, so hey to them. But the highlight of our night, of our tour, our whole visit, Katie's parents had been down the week before, and Katie's mom did not want to do what they call a ghost tour. Mm. Now, they have the tour during the day on the trolley where you see all the sights of the city, but at night they talk about how haunted the city is.
Your kids are at the absolute flawless age
it
for
was
that type of activity.
Fantastic. And what I found out is that during the Civil War, they actually sort of changed the borders of the cemetery in the middle of the city. So they condensed it. although they never moved the bodies. So much of the city is built on unmarked graves.
Wow. You are a great subject because you are taking all of this. You
well,
bought
Mike,
into
it wasn't
the whole
me.
BS ghost
It
tour.
Was Spooky Steve, because what what Katie booked was not just a ghost tour. It's called a hearse tour. And what they have done is they have taken an old Lincoln hearse, cut the back off of the top off the back, and put 8 swivel chairs in it. And oh so you God. Drive you, around
you,
the
are
city.
Are you driving around the city in that thing?
Yes, with drinks. After dinner, which had drinks.
I would have to be blackout drunk to get into that thing.
We get in there and... No, but you see them everywhere. You almost feel like you got to do
it's
it.
It's the mystery mobile.
When you sit in the mystery machine, yes, the hearse, which, by the way, carried, he said, over 1,000 bodies to their final resting place.
Yeah.
Yes. That's creepy. That was Spooky Steve's catchphrase.
Is Spooky Steve on a bullhorn or just
no,
like
they
a
have
PA
they,
system?
A small PA built into the hearse. I think that might have been aftermarket because I can't imagine you need to speak to your passengers when it's actually a hearse.
Yeah. Describe Spooky Steve to us.
Spooky Steve looked a lot like a man we used to work with, RJ Diaz. And he had a fedora, and he was very in to what he was talking cool. about. And just one of the things that I found the most creepy is when you sit in your chair, you feel something on the floor, and you look down, the floor of the hearse still has the rollers from moving the coffin in and out. So we're driving all around town, and this guy is laying it on thick. Yes. And he's
are your
taking
kids
us
freaking out?
The kids are so entertained by it. Robert
awesome.
Is totally captured. I knew Julia was starting to flip out because she's laughing at inopportune times. Like, and Spooky Steve says, "You think that's funny? Do you know why that concrete is oozing out of that abandoned house? It's because of the electrical fires. But here's the thing. The house doesn't have electricity."
Oh.
Yeah.
And then I'm Spooky Steve. Oh, welcome to my hearse. Did Spooky Steve look like maybe the heat and humidity had been dealing with his nether regions?
I would say this. Like Spooky Steve was an enthusiast of the black t-shirt and black jeans.
Yeah. Spooky Steve, if you put your nose in my crotch right
oh,
now,
no!
you would get more poison than is spewing out of that factory in China. I don't mind telling you. Spooky Steve. Now, take a look up here. This is one of our oldest homes in Savannah. And you notice the second floor, there was a widow there that died of a broken heart. And she was so busted up by the loss of her man in the Civil War that she said to haunt the second floor.
So I'm buying in and really enjoying Steve's presentation, because the thing is when a tour guide really seems to mean it and telling the stories, it's pretty good. And also,
so he was into it. He wasn't lazy.
No, he was great. And at any point,
sorry,
when he would
your previous
out,
reference,
I understand. We have to clarify. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At every point, he would stop. He'd get out of the hearse and like point and talk to us. But to each one of us, at one point, he'd sneak up behind you and scream and make you yell. And he got Julia and he got Robert. And
oh,
it
see,
was,
that's great for
it
the kids. They'll
great.
Remember that for the rest of their lives.
And so we do the whole tour. There's, of course, a halftime stop where you get to go and get another drink, which is great.
Nice.
See,
and
now that to me right there is the difference between all of those tours. If you get hooch on the tour, I am all in. And
yeah.
Can you get a big drink that can like...
Mike,
a, remember that drink you made for me in Las Vegas?
Yes.
It was the greatest Irish whiskey drink I've ever
said,
had in my life.
He said, "How many times do you want to stop for refills?" And I said, "Well, it's a 2-hour tour and I have a pretty good snootful right now. Let's stop at halftime." He said, "Excellent choice." So we could have stopped as many times as we wanted. So we all
where
did
you stop
fine,
for refills?
At an it was an English pub. The
okay.
oldest English pub in America, I believe. And
Spooky Steve tour. We're going to stop at halftime. You guys can fill up, and I'm going to recycle. And by the way, Spooky Steve's got to recycle his breakfast right now, so I might be 15 minutes at this particular
take your time with your drink.
Take your time with those mint
yeah.
juleps.
Yeah,
Spooky
might
Steve will be right back going to the
supersize
over here.
Yes. So we do the whole tour, and he did an excellent job. And afterwards, you go out and you pay him, and he says, and of course, you know, gratuities are accepted. And he did a good enough job, so I went over and paid him and gave him a little extra. And I said,
what did you give him? What was your
it
total?
The tour was 17 per person.
That's a pretty nice evening center. That's 2 hours of entertainment.
So I paid. So I did four times $20, so it was $3 on each, and then an additional $20.
Oh, you didn't pay for Dan and Katie?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's
sweet. Them too. So it was.
That's six.
It was six plus 20. So
you didn't. You would have added that math up. You didn't. You didn't pay for them. Yeah. That's fine. They put you in their home for days for free.
I don't make this a big deal.
And you didn't pay. You didn't pay for them.
I 100% paid for them. I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want to show off. I just was telling you.
It's courtesy. You're not showing off. You're courteous.
Okay, so I'm courteous, and yes, I paid for them. All right, good. That was
Why'd you tip the man?
I told you if you'd listened. Goddammit. $3 per passenger and an additional 20.
Oh, you're a good man.
The whole thing with if it's the open hearse, the chopped off hearse,
right.
And you're driving around, if there's not hooch involved, I don't know if I can make
I agree.
But the fact that you can do that and you're sitting there and what a great way. It was a kind of a cool way to see the city.
It was amazing until the very end when I'm talking to Steve and I say, you obviously really love what you do. He says, it's really great. It's not what I've always done. And I said, oh, really?
No.
And I said, what? Where? He said, I was a disc jockey. Oh! And at that moment, I realized everything he said was just a pile of horse ass. Because he said, yeah, I used to be called the Beast. I was fired from 27 stations in 26 years. And you know what else? And Katie, at this point, has had enough to drink. She says, we're on the radio. I said, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. He said, yeah, well, you'll love this. And I said, okay, what am I going to love? He says, I invented internet radio.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. Did you just walk away feeling loser than we all are?
You can't really excuse yourself from it. He says, I did it all, and it was stolen by Pandora. Yes. And then he told me all the places I could go on YouTube and see him as a disc jockey. And then Katie says, well, here's our card if you want to check out our show. And he said, maybe you need a new show on your network. And I said, maybe. Gotta go. Gotta
I'm all
go.
In.
Gotta go. But anyway, and then on the ride home, Carrie was driving because she was the least not drunk. And so, but I think the rules are different down there. And we got home, and immediately Carrie got out her phone and started on Snopes and debunked every story he told us.
Oh.
So the whole thing was just BS, but I'll tell you this. For the 2 hours we were doing it, it was great, and I recommend it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but it's nonsense.
Those cities, Gettysburg, they all have the ghost tour.
You can fight it. Oh, no. This is
do you talk C++?
Do I?
Can you telnet into port 25 and fake an email?
Can I?
Do you like to surf the backplane of a router?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever hex-edited your way to a registered version?
Sounds sexy.
We're not going to be talking about any of those things, but what will we be talking about, Oscar?
It's technology and the way it affects your life.
And we're going to be combining a lot of entertainment. It's going to be a good time. This is not your father's tech show.
Tech 411 Show, available on the More Broadcasting Network and on iTunes.
That means it's good, so please check it out.
The Best of O'Mara.
News.
Do you remember the ice bucket challenge, boys?
I do. Mm-hmm. We all did it.
Oh, yeah.
We all did the ice bucket challenge. I think my daughter's got me involved in it. It raised over $100 million. And here's some wonderful news. It looks like that money might have already made a huge impact. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University, just up the road from our D.C. studio, now think they may be on their way to finding a cure for ALS.
Wow.
This is big stuff.
Wow.
In a study published this month, they said they think they figured out how a protein called TDP-43 might be responsible for the disease. They were able to do the study because of the Ice Bucket Challenge donations. Now, there is much, much, much more work to be done, but this is a massive development. Usually before they cure these things, they identify the cause and what happens. This is a big breakthrough. There's a lot more to go in the fight, a lot more, but a big development, and they want people to keep donating because they need more funding going forward. but they think this could eventually lead to a treatment, even a cure. And I think that's fantastic.
That is great. You know, this would be a great year for a telethon, so they could really trumpet that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge deal.
How about telethons stink? And people donating online is much easier than
watching. You're stabbing a little boy in the heart right now.
Beard looks great, Oscar. Beard looks really good. Especially when it gets real thin.
Let's go back to a broken model that doesn't exist anymore.
No, that's not my first thought. My first thought is spread the word. My first thought is spread the word.
Nobody watches them anymore.
Well, no one with that beard would watch it.
You miss Jerry. Rob, you have to let it go. He's not coming back.
Well, you know what? He's not coming back. He's coming back to Virginia in October.
You're bringing your DAT recorder, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Please. Will this be the time you get backstage with Jerry?
Working
one-on-one?
It.
Her publicist told me to piss off.
What?
Oh, no. Tell me, Rofo. What happened?
Well, Rob said, hey, why don't you reach out to him again? So I, instead of going through the...
Because you had a relationship with the magician.
Well, with the magician at the magic shop.
that handles some of Jerry's media. Yeah. What's his name?
Rick Sapphire with one P.
Rick Sapphire.
With one P.
What happened to the contest?
I called up. I found the actual real publicist because this guy, I mean, he was a dud. So I called the actual publicist, and before I could even get done, you know, pitching the idea, she said, "Yeah, Jerry doesn't do that. He doesn't do phoners, and you know, really, he doesn't really do anything like that. You know, it would have to be in person, but I haven't heard of your show." So
well, wait a minute, but hold on, you're going to the show. You can go backstage.
This is why I'm speaking to the people at the State Theater. So I'm going to try and go through them because that's where he is.
Not the State Theater up here.
No, no, no. The one in Culpeper.
Culpeper? Yeah.
The historic State
the
Theater.
The people? You mean the guy that sells the popcorn and drives his car into the
back?
That's
him. That's him.
The people at the State Theater?
But here we have a chance because they know of the show. So if they go through Jerry's people, so it's circuitous, or I'll just sneak back there.
That's
but I look
the
forward
thing.
To
that's
it.
Your best
yeah.
bet.
That's, yeah. That might be fun, or at the very least, you know, get a little something of Jerry up on stage.
It's less of a show than the last tour, Mike. This new tour is he's showing the movie The Bellboy and then taking questions.
So do you think when he shows the movie The Bellboy,
right.
do you think he is... He's not watching it, is he? Is he in backstage just sitting there?
I just want to say what a joy and a thrill and all good things to see the movie on the big screen.
Okay,
no, of course not. Remember when he was doing his other show, between the clips on the big screen, he was taking oxygen.
Let me give you a piece of advice. So your opportunity, Rob, at this place is to get backstage when they're showing The Bellboy.
You're right.
I know that's a sacrifice for you.
No,
I know you want to sit out there and watch the movie.
This will shock you. I've seen the movie.
I know you've
seen
it.
The movie.
You've seen it multiple times.
On the big screen.
Yeah, I'm not headed to Culpeper to see the movie. I'm headed to see Jerry. So stay tuned. There's a good chance. You know, it's been years since I've spoken to the man.
Right. Very good. And he did.
He did
speak to Jerry. Remember when, Azalea Banks threw a fit over Nicki Minaj having a wax theme figure?
Yes.
Even though it was a representation of Nicki's actual video and Nicki loved the figure when she saw it, Azalea decided it was insulting and even racist. She also tweeted, quote, this was her tweet, verbatim. All people are going to do is go up to that statue and take pictures, shoving their crotch in her face and putting their crotch on her butt.
Mm.
Well, that prediction came true big time.
That's not...
There are quite a few pictures online of people doing all manner of naughty things to Nicki's wax figure. The figure she's on fours.
Yeah, like in
the video.
Yeah.
And after the pic started circulating, Azalea tweeted, I have some sort of feral triple intuitiveness that makes me know things as soon as I see them. I don't think so. I think anybody looking at that wax figure would know that people, if they could, were going to do that.
Yes, of course.
Remember his Zoltar.
The museum says this should not be happening, and they're going to put a stop to it by setting up the statue where the public can't interact with it. That's the whole fun of going to Madame Tussauds is interacting with the figures.
Oh, yeah.
I hate wax museums. So anyway, they're going to try to put a stop to it. We'll see what happens.
Perverts.
Like the cat.
Jimmy Buffett.
Boo!
Rob and I are not a fan of the Parrotheads.
Here.
Rob, you feel exactly about the Parrotheads the way I do. You articulate it better than I do.
Well,
right?
What it is they are professional He's coming to town. We now have 28 hours to drink and have fun. And it starts right now. Hawaiian shirt, rum-based drink, shut down Route 66. Burn down the stadium.
Thank you very
much. That's what that's a paradigm right there.
Beautifully put. The Sun Chronicle reports that there were makeshift toilets everywhere after a recent Jimmy Buffett show.
Oh,
the
no.
local police said, quote, "They're known as a party crowd, and I guess they don't want to wait in line for the bathroom." No, what they're known as, let me tell you this, as someone who dealt with them, what they're known as are the most entitled fan base I have ever seen in my life, where they celebrate this crack music and every year say, "We're fun." But they can't just go out and have fun. They have to make sure everybody knows they're having fun.
And it's also a moneyed, entitled crowd. That's why
Absolutely.
You have the Cadillac Escalade that has been put with wicker and palm trees on it. Because they can afford to be that because they're jackasses.
There's a big... Let me tell you, what Rob and I are doing right now, there's a segment of the audience that I'm never listening to them again.
Oh,
that's
good.
Swear to God.
Yeah. So, you can take all the time you say by not listening to us and drink something out of a coconut. You... idiot.
This is how many people we're talking about. According to the report, 75 to 100 tailgaters had to be told to shut down homemade toilets in their tents. And 7 to 10 of these filthy things were left on the grounds after the show.
Don't worry. The fans of Fish will clean it up.
Yeah, exactly. Many of the toilets are just, here's what the toilets are. A 5-gallon bucket with a foam pool noodle around the rim to create a seat.
Very ingenious.
This disgusting, or others are a wooden box with a bucket inside.
Oh, that's what I'm bringing to the Jerry Lewis show.
And a toilet seat attached to the top. Officials say this does occasionally happen with fans at other acts, but parrot heads are one primary offender. As ridiculous as all this sounds, abandoning the toilets like this is a health issue, and authorities say they're going to be cracking down on people who have it. It's just, you know, the parrot.
Nothing like, Mike, a big bucket of rum-based BM.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. All right, we got to wrap this up. Moving right along. A little something, something. At Springfield Technical Community College in Massachusetts, there's a health class where the teacher uses an anatomically correct female mannequin for demonstrations.
Nice.
Sorry for the pronunciation of anatomically. You can probably see where this story is going. 23-year-old Wahid Al-Monla broke into the school in May of last year and had his mind on that mannequin. He took it into the bathroom and had wild sex with it.
Oh.
The campus police wound up... Campus police wound up finding, quote, fabric from the mannequin's genitalia on the bathroom floor and a condom in the garbage. Wahid was caught breaking in on the surveillance cameras, and the cops arrested him shortly after that. He wasn't a student at the college, and there is no word on whether the mannequin's genital area will be reupholstered. I don't understand fabric. I'm sorry. I don't get that. I don't get that. So, yeah, that's it. We got to take a break.
The best of O'Mara.
Without further ado, let's get right to it. He's here. He's not going to his Redskins game, but he's got Oscar Ratze.
Ay, 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 ay.
Gentlemen.
Hi.
Yes.
What are your thoughts of Nicki Minaj?
Slut.
Whoa.
Wow. I think she's a nice girl.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
No, I think she's dirty looking. She lets her tees hang out all over the place. She, you know, she shows that, you know, thong ass all over the place. I think she's a dirty birdie.
Those are all great things.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, my wife will be listening based on the toe situation with Horny Bob's too, like, so I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for clarifying that.
No, you know what? Nicki Minaj is the preeminent female rapper in the United States. She's an amazing rapper, and I think she's very talented.
Her tookus has taken her to the next level. Absolutely. Right?
Yeah, yeah. She lets it all hang out, that's for sure.
Can you imagine if you were Nicki Minaj's boyfriend, you were with her for 12 years, and all of a sudden she becomes super famous?
Right.
What usually happens when someone becomes super famous?
Goodbye.
Pound sand time.
Ciao, ciao. Nicki Minaj's ex-boyfriend, Safari Samuels, is confiding with friends.
Hold it, hold it. What's the name?
Safari Samuels.
Is that a cartoon character?
No, I believe it's a ride at King's Dominion.
Hold on there. I'm Safari Samuels.
Watch out for that lion.
You're going on a special theme park ride. Watch out for the giraffes.
Sorry.
He's an emotional wreck over his breakup with Nicki after their 12-year relationship has ended.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's a shut-in, spending days and nights smoking weed and talking openly about suicide.
He doesn't even wear his big hat anymore.
You jerks.
Hold on there. Where's my double-barrel shotgun that I got from Yosemite Sam?
So we wish Safari Samuels, a quick recovery out of heartbreak.
Yeah, suck it up. Yeah. Suck it up. You
12 years, though, is rough. Years is rough.
And the bad thing is outside of his front door, nothing but dry desert and bush. It's just the worst.
Or no bush.
Yeah, now he won't be able to go on any more of those safaris, but he sure liked that safari checking out dad ass.
Yeah, boy.
That's got to suck. If you're dating a famous person and she's still at the pinnacle, you'll see her on TV at all times.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you, if I was dating Nicki Minaj, I would have the standard line for within an hour after meeting her. You know,
what's that?
Nicki Minaj, do you have a girlfriend? So we could have a menage a trois?
The anal safari, Mike.
Speaking of safaris.
That was Rob Spiewak, not me.
That's for my dad.
Amanda, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Amanda Bynes is going on a safari of her own in higher education.
Oh, this will go well.
As she took a VIP tour of USC's psychology department.
Oh, she didn't get into Maryland?
No. Didn't get into Maryland.
A VIP tour.
Amanda Bynes has set her sights on USC's and their psychology department. So she's looking to go. She took this VIP tour on Wednesday.
Yeah, good luck with that workload.
And she told the folks with whom she interacted that she wanted to enroll in the school and be a psych major.
I want to be a psych major.
Psych major or a psych topic?
A psych major. Okay. Several students who saw her on the golf cart tooling around say that she had headphones on and she was singing Roar by Katy Perry.
Yeah, she's nuts. She's nuts. This will not end well. Sorry.
You know who's going to do great? Not her, but her roommate.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Good luck.
You like when I room with Birdman.
Oh, Birdie.
I think, is it a cry for help? Because people say she's crazy.
Right.
And then she
wants
to gonna go learn about being crazy.
But here's the thing. Everything up until the point, she's going to school, taking a little tour. But no, it's the VIP tour that goes public and roaring around in a golf cart. My daughters have toured plenty of colleges without a golf cart. Thank you very much.
And also, Mike, I applaud you that you have two lovely daughters that have never set your driveway on fire.
They have never set my driveway
on fire. Never once.
And I just would venture to say, on the tours of the various schools they've gone to, they're not wearing headphones and singing a song at the same time. No. Thank you very
much. I'm hoping for the best. Well, I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, well, let's hope for the best. I will, too.
Gentlemen,
Safari.
Stephen.
Safari Samuels.
Stephen Collins has come out from Seventh Heaven. We talked about this in the past.
This guy, right.
Yes. He says, I'm not a pedophile. And this is what's strange about
That's
this.
That's a great thing to yell.
Right. He says, but he's rather someone who has a distortion in his thinking. Collins told Katie Couric he does not fit the clinical or dictionary definition of a pedophile. So concluded his therapist. The same therapist, Collins says, told him that if Collins were really a pedophile, he would have repeated his misdeed way more times. So he would have continued touching kids or whatever he did.
This is the same therapist that I spent quadruple the normal therapist rate on.
So says the guy that's on his payroll.
My therapist told me I'm okay.
Collins told Couric that he had no attraction towards children and that the incident in 1973 where he made a physical contact with one of his victims, stopped his deed, has stopped him dead in his tracks, saying that the opposite of excitement or gratification happened. So my question is this. So he touched one of his victims allegedly, right?
Why can't he just have a drinking problem like his older brother?
And then he exposed himself.
Tom.
Thank you, Oscar.
I'm sorry. He exposed himself to the other victims.
We got through it.
That's a problem, right?
Yeah, well, he's got a problem. He's got some foo-foo doctor out in Beverly Hills, and that's crap. And
it's Dr. Bynes, actually. Yeah,
really?
I mean,
any type of addiction, if you've studied any kind of addiction or any kind of personality disorder, denial is a massive roadblock to recovery.
We'll find out.
Like he's in the middle of it.
A lot of the reruns have been pulled. They're not even showing them anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a big.
That's not all that was pulled.
You see, Oscar, Tom Collins is a drink.
Now I know that.
Tom Collins.
I've never had a Tom Collins.
Yeah, and his Irish brother.
He has a brother. From Ireland?
Over in Ireland.
Oh, really? What's his name?
Michael.
Ah!
Thank you very much.
Well, gentlemen, we talked Sony earlier. Guess who's getting involved? Reverend Al Sharpton is meeting with Amy Pascal.
Oh, God. Everything's going to be fixed now.
You know what? I am so tired of him. That's his MO. That's his job. That's what he does. Yeah. He marries himself to any news story. It's gross.
Sharpton met with Pascal for 90 minutes Thursday, just yesterday, in New York City.
I bet it seemed like longer than 90 minutes to Amy Pascal.
And she admitted that she was wrong and silly to engage producer Scott Rudin, if you remember those Obama remarks.
Right.
About how Obama may only like black movies. Like, like Sharpton, like, what is he going to do here? There's nothing he's going to do.
He's going to rise his star. That's what he's going
to
do.
Though, it's great that this happened last week and not a week later. Usually people wait to talk to Al Sharpton. She probably called him and said, let's meet.
Let's be done over here, Al. Yeah, come on.
Thank you very much, Al. That's Oscar Rossi for this week.
Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Monday. Is this October 20th already?
Oh, yeah,
can you
man.
Believe it?
Yeah.
October 20th, 2014. Take it away, Rob.
Mike, when it comes to motivational speakers who also used to coach the football at the college level, it's hard to beat Lou Holtz.
And by the way, we'll have a coaching story tomorrow on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, excellent.
You won't want to miss that.
ESPN College Football Scoreboard. That's the show on ESPN. Lou Holtz is a panelist on there. Here he is in context. I want you to try to tell me what Lou says here, because the man has a lot of knowledge.
I mean, I cannot believe he is still broadcasting. The last clip you played of Lou Holtz was unintelligible.
Well, this is Mike. You can. I think there's something to be learned here.
They will get to talk a whole lot more at halftime. I promise.
Well, I don't get a brain bang cold,
but they're counting down 7, 6, 5.
Okay, that's it in context. So let's hear it again. Let's just hear Lou. Okay.
Well, I don't get a brain bang cold, but they're.
So I thought I had it. So I listened again.
Well, I don't get a brain bang cold, but they're.
So I said, you know what the problem is? The problem is he's talking too fast.
Oh, no.
So I slowed it down. No, no, Let's see how he sounds now. And that didn't help. I still couldn't understand it. So I said, you know what we need to do? We need to play it backwards. That's
right.
If you play the original again. I'm sorry. Those are your clips? It's like the Tasmanian devil.
It is. It really is. Let's hear it again. So I actually ran it through Google Translate, and what he's saying is drink your Ovaltine.
Poor guy.
This I love. I think Ian McKellen is a great actor. Is he in your Hobbit movie?
Yeah, he's Gandalf.
And he actually quoted Gandalf. He was he was addressing some kids, elementary school kids, that were getting ready for organized testing. And
cool guy. Very, very funny man. Great actor. Sweet guy. Really, really good guy.
And, you know, I can imagine that these kids are probably a little frightened because this big old man is coming in to their school to tell them about their test. But he pulls it off. This is pretty cool.
In your preparation for your examinations, if you don't do your revision properly, do you know what will happen? You shall not pass!
Isn't that great?
That's so cool.
They asked a kid about it after it, and he said...
Well, I don't get...
All right, let's turn our attention to Tennessee, which is in the southern part of this great nation of ours. There's a sheriff there named Joe Guy. And there was a fugitive by the name of Tim Black, Mike. You wouldn't believe where Joe Guy found Tim Black.
He did locate Mr. Black in a closet, evidently enjoying a bowl of salad. But he was able to finally get him to put the fork down because that could potentially be used as a weapon. And I suppose a salad could, too. Sometimes people just do strange things. Well, at least he was eating healthy. You might say that. So, again, just glad everything turned out good.
Now, the thing, I listened to that a couple times. I can see the fork being a weapon. But how is the salad a weapon?
Not going to hurt you with the salad. No, unless they jam it into your eye.
Croutons. The croutons are merciless.
Depends on the dressing. If there's a lot of pepper in the dressing. You know?
I'm glad you brought up pepper, Mike, because here's the sound of the Keene, New Hampshire Pumpkin Festival over the weekend where actually had to call out riot gear and they shot pepper balls.
Hold on. Wait.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Keene State, my buddy, Joey, my lifelong buddy and guy that I went to high school with.
Right.
And he's a graduate of Keene State. And Keene State, this is amazing. We should talk about this tomorrow on the show because this is really why they went nuts. This is the most innocent.
It's a pumpkin festival.
It's pumpkin, but apparently they get the trouble that comes to town for this thing. So
here's the
go
sound.
Ahead, play
here's
away.
The actual audio of the of this is a pumpkin festival. The sound you hear is pepper balls. I did not know what these were. Mm. It's like a paintball gun, but the balls are filled with pepper spray.
Wow.
So they can actually shoot them greater distance with more precision to quell riots. And here is a description of what went down there, okay?
With a Jack Daniels bottle, like across the face. I was in the health center for a little bit, but I left.
Of course.
It's ridiculous. This is not Pumpkin Fest. I don't even, from Rhode Island, we're supposed to have a fun weekend, and this is stupid.
It all collected in Winchester, in the Winchester lot. Watch a car get flipped. Watch a car get totally destroyed by like 10 guys, probably. Just windshield, like, smashed out.
So that's what you do at a pumpkin festival, I guess. You turn a car
over. Saw the video.
Well, it's the youth of America now kind of not protesting anything, not really giving a rat's ass about the world's problems. But, you know, when you're young and you've got that energy, it's got to kind of come out. I mean, that's where protest movements start with young people. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
We didn't see any of it at the Jerry Lewis show. And finally, I believe this was in Canada, a man found a dead mouse in the bottom of his cup of McDonald's coffee.
A man in New Brunswick, Canada, claims that he found a dead mouse in the bottom of his McDonald's coffee. Sounds like someone slipped him a Mickey.
Thank you, Seth Meyers. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Hey!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.